I am so into this sermon, I almost missed my plane last night. I was working on it, and I was vaguely aware of Kim getting up and leaving me at the air. You know, we're at the terminal, and I'm sitting there working on it, and I was vaguely aware that Kim wasn't next to me. Then I was vaguely aware that I received a text message, and then I hear somebody yelling, "Steve, Steve, Steve, what? Time to get on the plane." Kim was almost on board. So you want to get in trouble with your spouse, miss the plane that you came back, that you made an effort to make anyway. This is the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is one of my favorites. We're just going to read the first 9 verses and then go from there. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judea went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and 2 sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. The names of his 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephraites from Bethlehem in Judea. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her 2 sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they had lived there 10 years, about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman, Naomi, was left without her 2 sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, and she and her 2 daughters-in-law, they went on their way to go back to the land of Judea. But Naomi said to her 2 daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt kindly with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." She kissed them, and they wept aloud. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, I'm actually jumping out of our, excuse me. I'm actually jumping out of our Dented Heroes of Faith sermon series. We are going to talk about and visit with 3 people who deserve We're going to talk about 3 people who deserve being talked about. They have very few scrapes, dents, dings, or scratches. These are 3 people we are not going to put on a pedestal. There's no way, because they really are human people. But these are 3 people that deserve to be talked about, that we learn great lessons from this day. They are Ruth, her sister-in-law Orpah, and their mother-in-law Naomi, also known as Mara. What happened to Naomi and what caused her name change to Mara is the center of these stories. Originally, she is named Naomi. Naomi means pleasant, and that's who she is. She is kind, she is loving, she is generous. And she lives during the time of the judges. This is after the people have come into the promised land, but before they insist on having a king, and King Saul is crowned. So this is an in-between time. And during this in-between time, there's a great famine in the land. So Naomi and her husband Elimelech from Bethlehem, yes, that Bethlehem, they go to Moab, a country east of Judah across the Dead Sea. All went well for this immigrant family. Their only children, their 2 sons, meet and marry Moabite women, and the sons are just ready to start their own families. Even the death of Elimelech does not derail Naomi's family. They're still pressing on. They're still living out a pretty good life in Moab. Then, in a shocking, mind-numbing instant, both sons are dead. Just like that. And these three widows have nothing left. There's no Social Security to fall back on. There's no life insurance payouts. They have nothing. All is lost for them. Naomi bitterly decides that she is out of options and in the wrong place. It's time to go home. Now, according to the law of Moses, when she goes home to Bethlehem, there will be what is called a goel. Excuse me. The goel is the redeemer provider that is under the Mosaic law to take care of Naomi. And so she'll have this next relation that's going to take care of her. So she gets on the road to Bethlehem. And here on the road, she shows her true character. What is the one thing that I really admire about Naomi? She disregards her own wants, her own interests, her own cares, and she decides to send her daughter-in-laws back home. She assures these women that she indeed loves them, that they were good to her sons and they were very good to her. But now they need to go home to Moab to see if they can rebuild their own lives. A very selfless act by Naomi. And the women are just as selfish, selfless. No, no, no. We are not going. We are staying with you. You cannot order us to go home. Don't do that. We are staying with you. Knowing these young women are obligated to do as she orders, she commands, she reiterates, go home. She says, I want you with me, but this bitter old lady's got nothing else to offer you. What, are you going to wait for me to get married again and pregnant and then wait for children to grow up? No. Go home. And there's much wailing and crying and weeping, and they cling to each other. And Orpah does as she is commanded. She turns back off of Naomi's road, back onto her own path. Now, I want to stop here and do a shout out to Orpah. Hashtag Orpah. Though it broke all three women's hearts, Orpah obeyed. She did as she was told and returned to Moab. Our faith lives, our family lives, our lives in church, no matter how hard it may be to do, sometimes, much of the time, we must follow conventions and commands and requests and suggestions and do as we are told to serve the Lord through obedience. Now, having just said that with great confidence, I got to tell you, I'm awful at it. I'm terrible at being obedient. But obedience to the Holy Spirit, found through prayer, the collective wisdom of the body of Christ, parents, mentors, guides, grandparents, those whom we trust and love, often show us the way to the Lord our God. The old hymn, Trust and Obey, can be our anthem sometimes. Sometimes trusting in the Lord and obeying God's wisdom through the voice of others is living into the wisdom of God and our personal calling. It really is. And then there's Ruth. Naomi says, go. Ruth says, no. She disobeys. I will not abandon and forsake you. I will not go back. Don't even ask me to go back. But your sister-in-law, she went back. Do not press me to leave you or turn back from you. I will go where you go. I will stay where you stay. Your people will be my people. Your God may be my God. And I will die with you and be buried where you are buried. And may the Lord do thus and so to me if I don't do it. Sometimes serving the Lord is going against the grain. Sometimes it's not following conventions. Sometimes it's radically going this way when the culture, when the society, when our dear friends, when our mentors Those whom we love and want the best for us tell us to go a different way. We have Ruth and Naomi, Noah, the Apostle Paul, St. Francis of Assisi, Ignatius of Loyola, Queen Esther, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, are just a few examples of those who went a different direction in serving the Lord. Now, the hard part for me is when to balance this obedience and disobedience, following this path or that path. Should I go to Moab or Bethlehem? And we have to be open to sometimes it's not being very clear. Sometimes it's not being a certainty. We need to follow the nudges of the Holy Spirit rather than the wisdom of others sometimes. Or sometimes we follow the wisdom of others and the nudges of the Holy Spirit. Trust that the Lord has a plan for you. That's what it comes down to. No matter what road you go, no matter what path you take, trust that the Lord has a plan for you, for each of you, for all of us, a plan to prosper all of us, no matter what. The Lord is in our lives. So whether we go with the conventional wisdom and go down this path, or go against the conventional wisdom and go down that path, you're not going to do it alone. You will not do it alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you no matter what path we follow. We are with each other no matter what path we follow. I might not agree with the path you're following, and I might do my very best to talk you out of it, and I'm a good talker. But I will love you and support you. That's what being family is. That's what being Christian is. Following and supporting, doing the best we can with each other and for each other. And that's what Naomi and Ruth are doing in this, and Orpah, all three are doing in this book. You will not be alone. Christ is with you. We are with each other. I will love whom I love and not depart from you. I might not always agree or like it, but I will do my darndest to be with you and support you. Now, the third person to be admired that we need to talk about, that we need to imitate in the book of Ruth, of course, is Naomi. Now, I'm a big fan. If I was the boss of the Bible, I would rename this the Book of Naomi. I really like Naomi. Life has been hard for her. It has been a disappointment. It has been as hard as you can imagine. No one should have to bury a child. No one ever. This is not the life Naomi envisioned for herself. And she has every right to be angry with God. She has every right to be angry with God. God can handle it. I want you to know it's okay to be angry with God. It's not a sin to question or to wonder or to query or even to rage at God. God's got big shoulders. God can handle this. God can handle it when I'm really angry. And when I'm angry, it's angry. God is love. Love doesn't turn away from anger. God is forgiveness. God is a listener. God understands. You know one thing I never say it to anyone. I know how you feel. I never say that because I can't know how you feel. I don't know you. All the way through, inside and out, upside down. But the Lord God in heaven does know how you feel. Because God knows you and loves you and is with you. So, if you want to get mad at God, get mad at God. It's okay. Naomi not only claims it, she proclaims it. She changes her name to reflect that rage. Verse 20, the women are so pleased, they're so happy. Hey, it's Naomi. Bethlehem's a small town. Hey, Naomi's home. Isn't that great? Hey, Naomi, come on over and visit. Hey, this is great. Good to see you, Naomi. Verse 20, do not call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. She changes her name to be bitter at God. For the Almighty, El Shaddai, God Almighty, has dealt with me bitterly. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me? And the Almighty, El Shaddai, this God Almighty, has brought this calamity upon me. That's angry with God, folks. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter. Not that I'm bitter. Wait, no, I am bitter. I am bitter. I'm angry. I'm dispirited. I'm soured on God. I am aggrieved by God. Now, at this point, we know what to expect from Mara. We expect this selfish, horrible, bitingly sarcastic, caustic person for the next four chapters of the book. That's what we can expect. When somebody says they're bitter, they act bitter. For the remainder of the story, Mara Naomi proceeds to love, to care for Ruth, to plot for Ruth's happiness and her marriage and her children, in her coming children. Naomi does everything in her power to love the Lord God, not to love God personally at this point, she can't, but to love God through loving her beloved Ruth. Naomi lives out, Mara, lives out the antonym of bitter. She might be saying she's bitter, but she is living a generous, big-hearted, kind, selfless, self-sacrificing life. Though she is angry with God and has every reason to be angry with God, she lives her life lovingly. No matter how terrible her life became, and it was terrible for a very long time, she lived out goodness and love with Ruth. She served God by living a family life of love. You don't have to walk around every minute, praise God, praise God, praise God. Walk around loving God by loving your family, loving those who God has put on your path in front of you, loving in simple ways. It doesn't have to be gigantic miracles. Love and serve the Lord is about serving each other through our brokenness. We're all broken in some way. We're all dispirited in some way. Loving others despite ourselves takes work sometimes. Our emotions, our situation in life can be hard. Our emotions could be not there, but we can still serve each other. She was not feeling it, but Mara Naomi was living out the love of God by loving on Ruth. Now, in the last chapter of the book, after all the plotting and everything that Naomi really is in the background working really hard, it all comes together for both Ruth and Naomi. Ruth marries the good man Boaz. There's a fourth person I wish we had time to talk about. What a good guy Boaz is. So she marries the good man Boaz. Ruth marries the good man Boaz. They have a baby boy. And then comes one of my favorite lines in all of the Bible. It's Ruth chapter 4, verse 17. Remember, the women greet Naomi. Hey, it's Naomi. Good to see you, Naomi. Love you. And I don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. So now here in chapter 4, 17, the same women come running up to Naomi. Hey, Naomi, it's so good to be here. Yay, yay, yay. The women of the neighborhood gave the boy, Naomi's grandson, a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. I love that. A son has been born to Naomi. And they named him Obed. And Obed became the father of Jesse, the father of the future King David, the great, 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 great grandfather of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord was good to Naomi. Naomi had a baby. And you notice she doesn't say, oh, don't call me Naomi. She really is happy now. Call me Naomi. Call me Pleasant. Because I'm holding this baby boy on my lap. Naomi's faithfulness and selflessness and charity pay off for her. She does claim her name at the end, doesn't she? She claims her name, Naomi, once more. And I'm really glad for her. But sometimes we don't get to know the end of the story. We don't get to see the fruit of those seeds that we planted by imitating Naomi, by being kind when we don't want to be, by being pleasant when we don't want to be, by loving on people when we aren't feeling very loving. We don't always get to see the plant flourish, but we get glimpses of glory. We get glimpses of glory. We see that troubled young person graduate. We see the person, older person we know has been struggling. They bring us a goodie for just no good reason at all. Our doctor sits down with us, making herself late for the next appointment, and starts telling her, and she starts telling us part of her story. We see glimpses of glory. We may not always see the fruit, but we keep plugging away because of those glimpses of glory. Now, we might not always feel magnanimous or generous or charitable or kind or patient, but we can live into the fruit of the Spirit. We can be Naomi, pleasant when we aren't feeling, when we're feeling Mara, bitter. And we can give thanks to God in God's glory through all of that. And this is our path. Our path, we might not have a clear and direct road, Moab, Bethlehem, but our path always leads to Calvary and the empty tomb. That's our path. And that's the path we follow. And remember, we are not in this alone. Our Lord Jesus Christ is always with us, and we're with each other.